Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Ksubayis Nun Zayin. We are holding seven lines from the top of the Amud. Yesterday, we discussed this fellow who's trying to save on his Ksuba payments. He's trying to deduct some from the basic standard amount of 200 to a basula, for instance. So, can he do that? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if she issues a receipt to that effect, I sort of received that money, that is considered like a mechila, like she's forgiving. But just to make a tenai in advance, to stipulate, look, I am marrying on this and that condition, that doesn't work. And the reason was because although ksuba is midrabbanon, the Chachamim reinforced this ksuba commitment, Yosef Mishal Torah, even more than they would reinforce a din Torah, because there is a tendency to take lightly, to neglect the words of the Chachamim. You cannot stipulate a tenai against the standard ksuba arrangement. Rabbi Yosef disagrees. You make a tenai, it works. Continues the Gemara. At what point are we speaking? You see, there are three stages in this process of marriage. You have the pre-chuppah stage, post-chuppah, and then you have post-bia, post-interaction. So at what point did he attempt to make this tenai? And at what stage in this process do we have this machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's null and void, and Rabbi Yosi accepts the tenai as fact? So we're going to have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi talking, Rabbi Yochanan speaking. Then we're going to have two versions. One presented by Rav Dimi, his version of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And then we have Ravin, who as well has his own quotation, his own version of the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who happen to be saying the same thing. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan, as well as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, are of the same opinion with respect to the timing of this tonight. But we have differing versions, differing editions of what they actually said, Rav Dimi's version and Ravin's version. Kios Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Omar, he said, Rabbi Shimon Pasi, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Pasi, who quoted in the name of Omar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapar, Machlekes. This whole dispute, this whole discussion, this that we say, that according to Rabbi Yosi, you can actually stipulate ahead of time to deduct from your ksuba obligations, B'tchila, that's only initially, at that first stage, before they actually made the chuppah. Aval besoif. Actually, soon the Gemara will discuss what tchila means. So, at the initiation of this stage, we have a machlekes. Aval besoif. But once you get to the end of this process, all agree that she can no longer just, you know, give up that right. Rashi says, "Shekvar zochsa, v'amirasa lav klum." You can't just verbally give up your rights. Elim kein kasva shayver is kabalti. Of course, if she actually puts it down in a receipt, then she's giving him a receipt and being moichel him. It's a formal relinquishing of her claim. But verbally, just mere stipulation, mere words carry no weight. So according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, at the beginning of the marriage process, at the initiation, betchila, she has not yet acquired that right, that privilege. She was not yet zoicha in the full amount of ksuba. You can stipulate what you want, according to Rabbi Yosi. Right? So that's when we have the machlekes. According to Rabbi Yosi, it works. Whereas besoif, at the end of the process, she's already zoicha in this ksuba obligation. She has this absolute claim, and she can't just give it up by mere speaking and verbalizing her her mechila, unless she writes it in a shiva or in a receipt. That's a Rishon HaLevi. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he says, Bein bezu ubein bezu machlekes, whether it's at this phase in the process or at the other phase, the same exact machlekes applies. So in either case, whether it's the beginning of the process, the end of the process, according to Rabbi Yossi, she can just give it up if she wishes to do so. So it would seem that there's machlekes between Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says once it's too late, it's too late, and Rabbi Yechon, who seems to disagree, that all stages of this process, all phases of marriage are considered equal. But Amar Bevo, you went to know that Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Levi were actually of the same exact opinion. They had just different ways of, different words of describing the same halacha. Lididim Mefashli, to me it was explained, it was elaborated upon, Mined Rabbi Yechonan, from Rabbi Yechonan, Da'ano, that myself, Rabbi Yechonan speaking, myself, V'Rabbi Shoma Levi, myself and Rabbi Shoma, Lai Pliginan Ahadadi, we're not having any disagreement. We're totally on the same page. We both hold that once the process was set in motion, once there was a full-fledged marriage, of course she can't just verbally give it up. Okay, so both myself and Rabbi Shimon Levi are in full agreement that once she was zoicha, once there was a bia involved, that's the completion of this marriage, she's certainly zoicha and she can't just give it up by verbalizing that. Oh, but if you take a look at the simple wording on the surface, it would seem that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Levi, who told us, well, only betchila this night can work, but besoif it cannot work, and Rabbi Yochanan, who seemed to say that it always works, right? The answer is, it's a matter of semantics. They were both describing the same halacha, using different words. My betchila, the Kohen Rabbi Shimon Levi. You see, although Rabbi Shimon Levi tells us that betchila, the first part of this first phase of this process, there is a machlekes. What was he speaking about? Betchilas chuppah. He was speaking before the chuppah even began. Umayseif. And then when he said, well, at the culmination, at the end of the process, all agree you can no longer make it tonight. That was Seif Bia. He jumped ahead two phases, two stages, two steps. He was contrasting pre-marriage to both Bia, right? The three steps, we said. Before the Chuppah, after the Chuppah, but pre-Bia, pre-involvement with her, and then you have the Bia itself. So after that Bia, that's the next stage, third and final phase of this marriage. So Rabbi Shimon tells us, before anything had happened, before the chuppah, there is room for tanai. But at the end, at the very end of this process, after the bia, that's already step three, it's too late, she was already zeich. And this is Rabbi Yechonah speaking. Well, I said the same exact thing in concept. I agreed to this halacha. I was just describing the situation from a different angle. And when I said bein bezu ubein bezu machlekes, whether this or that, there will still be a machlekes. What I meant was like this: phase one and phase two. That's what I meant. I didn't discuss the final phase of la'achar bia. Oh, over there, it's surely too late. I wasn't talking about that. So my lashon tchila and soif was the beginning and the end of the chuppah, phase one and phase two of marriage. Tchilas chuppah v'saif chuppah. When I said tchila, I meant before the chuppah, like Rabbi Shimon Levi. And when I said v'saif, there's a machlekes by the saif as well, I did not mean all the way at the very end. I meant v'saif chuppah, the end of the chuppah, the tchilas bia, which is the initiation and the sort of the introduction to the bia. So actually, we're both saying the same thing, using different words. We had different reference points, that's all. But ultimately, we're saying the same exact thing. That's Rav Dimi's version of events. The concept behind it is, this machlekes, this shita of Rabbi Yis, who allows its nai to affect his ksuba, an obligation. That's only before he actually culminated, before he concluded, before he was totally committed to this marriage. But once he did that, it's too late for her to just give it up like that. She has to write him a shaver, write him a receipt, otherwise it doesn't work. And both Rabbi Shmuel Levi and Rabbi Yochanan were saying the same exact idea. We have three phases of marriage, three stages that take place. At Chilas Chuppah, before the Chuppah, we have the Seif Chuppah at the conclusion, which is called Chilas Bia, because Seif Chuppah and Chilas Bia are synonymous. Chuppah leads into Bia, and then we have the Seif Chuppah at the very end, after the Seif Bia, at the end of the Bia. Phase 1 and Phase 2, there's room for Tanai. It's not yet, hasn't yet been cemented. But after the Bia took place, it's been cemented. A Tanai wouldn't work. That's Rav Dimi's addition. He also Ravin. When Ravin came, he gave us a different addition, a different quote. Amar Rav Shimon Pasi. Amar Rav Shimon Levi. So again, there will not be a machlokes between Rav Shimon Levi and Rav Yochanan. They'll be on the same page. But on which page? On a different page than Rav Dimi's addition. So Ravin had the following girsa, the following Kabbalah. Amar Rav Shimon Ben Pasi. Amar Rav Shimon Levi. Rav Shimon Bar Kapara. Machlokes. Libis Seif. When do we have a machlekes? When does Rabbi Yehuda say, well, you cannot just give things up like that? Unless you actually formalize it in a receipt. But just verbally, it doesn't work. That's only at the very end of the process, when she was already a zoicha in this chus. She already acquired the rights of the ksuba peyat. Aval betchila, but if it's still early in the game, before she was actually Zeicha, Divrei HaKoyl Moicheles, all agree that she could just give it up verbally. So that's Rabbi Shmuel Levi speaking. Rabbi Yochanan said, and soon we'll explain that there really isn't a machlokes between these two, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shmuel Levi. It's just a question of semantics. They're both saying the same exact thing, but looking at it from different angles. So again, according to Rabbi Shmuel Levi, Lebasayif, at the very end of the process, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot give it up. But earlier than that, Betchila, before the very end, all agree that you can certainly be Meichel. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Bein Bezu Ubein Bezu Machlekes. Whether it's at the end or the beginning, the same Machlekes will apply. Even if it's Batchila, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot just give it up. It would seem that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan, who seems to be of the opinion that there's a machlokes all the way through the three stages of marriage. There's never a time where, according to all shitas, you can be Meichel. This is different than Rabbi Shmuel Levi, who seems to say that there's at a certain point, an early point in the process, you can be Meichel according to all Shittas. Amar Rav Ahu, no, there's no Machlekes. They're both saying the same exact thing, just using different formulas to describe it. Lididi, to me, Mifar Shali, it was explained to me, Meneid Rabbi Yochanan, from Rabbi Yochanan, I know that myself, Rabbi Yochanan, was saying about himself, myself, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and my colleague, Rabbi Shua, Loi Pileginon Adadi, we have absolutely no disagreement in this halacha. We're both saying the same exact thing. Right? There were three phases to speak of. Before the chuppah, after the chuppah, which is tchilas bia, right? Two ways to describe that point. And we have all the way at the very end of seif bia. We both meant to say like this. The machlekes will apply at phase 2 and phase 3. But phase 1 before the chuppah, certainly according to all shittas, she can be Meichel if she chooses to do so. And we were both saying the same exact thing. So why do we see a discrepancy in language? I'll explain to you. Because we had different ways of describing the same phase. We use different words. And that's what made it sound confusing. Maila b'soif d'amar Rabbi Shimon Levi. You see, when Rabbi Shua said that machlekas only applies at the end, he meant soif chupa, which is phase two. That's when, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's too late. Umay t'chila, when he said, well, b'tchila, earlier on in the game, all agree you can be meichel, t'chila s'chupa, he meant phase one before the chup. V'chika amina ano. And when I said, bein bezu, ubein bezu machlekas, whether it's this or that phase, the machlekas still applies, I did not mean phase one. Phase one, it's still premature, she can still be meichel. I meant phase two and phase three. Tchila asbiya v'saif biya. When I said, whether it's tchila, or whether it's saif, you still have the same machlekas. I meant the end of the chuppah, which is tchila asbiya, so that's phase two. And when I said saif, I meant saif biya, phase three. Then, we have a machlekas. Then, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow tonight. But phase one, I certainly agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, that according to all shittas, mechila can apply. Tonight can apply. Okay, so before we continue, lest we get more confused, let's just quickly recap this part of the Gemara. We have Rabbi Shimon Levi, we have Rabbi Yochanan, both telling us something in reference to the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't allow a tznai to kick in by the ksuba commitment, and Rabbi Yosi, who does allow a tznai to be reckoned with. So they're both on the same page. Both Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are of the same opinion, on the same track. No machlekes between them, but there is a machlekes in terms of what they said. We have two editions, Rav Dimi's edition and Rav's edition. According to Rav Dimi's edition, right, we have the three stages, Tchilas Chuppa, phase number one of this marriage. Then we have the next phase, after the Chuppa, which is called Tchilas Bia. Then we have Seif Bia all the way at the very end. According to Rav Dimi, during phase one and phase two, we have this machlekes, meaning according to Rabbi Yosi, a tznai can work. But phase three, it's too late, she's zeiche, a tznai would not work. According to Ravin, he's more mekel. He says, at phase two and phase three, we have a machlekes, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't work. But at phase one, tchilas chuppa, all agree it's early enough in the process. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can make a tznai. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa. So according to the Gemara's take up until now, there was no machlekes, absolutely no machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi. The only question was what they both said. We have Rav Dimi's version of their discussion and Ravin's version of their opinions, which is a little bit kind of puzzling that you would have differing opinions with respect to what somebody said. Amar Rav Papa, he loved the Amar Ravo. If not for Rav Ravo telling us what he told us earlier, the Elididi, to me, Mifar Shali, was explained to me, Mined Rabbi Yochanan, from Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan tell him? That there was no machlekes between myself and Rabbi Shimon Levi, which pretty much resulted in there being a difference of opinion between Rav Dimi and Ravin. Right? We have somebody's disagreeing here. It's either Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi. Now, that's not a disagreement. So apparently there's a disagreement between Rav Dimi and Ravin with respect to what they said. So which way should we go? So Rav Papa prefers that there would have been a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi. He likes that better. So if not for the fact that Rabbi Avo tells us, L'didi mefashili mined Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explained that Anov Rabbi Shimon Levi loy palgina nadodi, that myself and my colleague Rabbi Shimon Levi are having no disagreement whatsoever. We're both on the same page. We both hold the same sheet. In which case, it resulted in us concluding that there is a differing of opinions in terms of the proper quote. We had Rabbi Dimi's quote of their sheetes. We have Ravin quoting them differently. He didn't like that, Rav Papa. He says, I wouldn't have gone that route. Rather, I would have said differently. Havamina, I would have thought, I would have said that indeed, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi Pligi, them two They are having a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan holds one thing. He holds, well, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi is all the way through the system. Phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, doesn't matter. And Yehoshua ben Levi is the one that tells us, well, it all depends where they're holding in their life. Phase 1, all agree you could make mechila. Phase 2, oh, that's the machlokes. Phase 3, all agree you cannot make the mechila. That's how I would have interpreted this whole discussion. This is Rav Papa speaking. I would have said, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Levi, please. They are having the disagreement. Right? That's legal. Could have a machlekes, right? And Rav Dimi, and Virav and Levi, please. Rather than say that Rav Dimi and Rav are disagreeing over their versions of what the other Amoraim said, I would have gone the other route. I would have said that the machlekes is between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi, right? And Rav Dimi and Ravan are really presenting the very same thing. They're both saying the same exact thing, just they're using sort of different words to describe the same machlekes. There's no difference of opinion between Ravan and Rav Dimi. They both had the same Kabbalah, the same tradition, the same quotation of this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Levi. What do you mean? You see a difference in the wording between Rav Dimi and Rav? And I would explain it like this. They're both saying the same thing, just using different terminology, coming from different vantage points. My soif to ka'amar Rav. You see, when Rav tells us that according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, when it's already soif, then we have the machlekes, soif chuppah. He meant that at stage 2 of this marriage, which is the soif chuppah, which is tchilas bia, right, the stage 2 of the process, then we have the machlekes. Then we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can no longer make a tznai. But if it's betchila, which means tchilas chuppah, way back at stage 1, before the, if anything happened, then all agree you can make it tonight. So that's Ravin's version of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Stage 2, we have a machlekes. Stage 1 of the marriage, all agree it's okay. And that's the same exact thing that Rav Dimi is telling us. He's just using different language. Umay t'chila dukama Rav Dimi. The same thing Rav Dimi is telling us. Rav Dimi tells us, look, but t'chila, we have a machlekes, and Basoif all agree it does not work. He's just using a different word to describe the same event. Umay tchila, come Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi tells us betchila, that's when we have the machlekes. That's when we say, according to Rav Yosi, it can work. He didn't mean before the chuppah. He didn't mean stage 1. He meant stage 2 as well. Tchilas bia. He meant tchila of the bia, which is a safe chuppah, the same thing. Stage 2. Right, but stage 3, after the beer, all agree that tonight doesn't work in any case. So bottom line is, says Rav Papa, I would have taken this approach, I would have taken this route. Rather than say that Rabbi Yochanan, right, somebody is disagreeing here. There's some sort of machlekes going on here. But we're faced with a choice. We can either conclude that it's Rabbi Yochanan disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon Levi. That's the approach I would have taken. Rabbi Yochanan holds this machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, yetznai, no tznai. It's irrespective of which phase of the marriage they're holding at. Phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. Always a machlekes. Rabbi Shimon Levi disagrees. It all depends where they're holding. Phase 1, you can make it tonight according to all shittas. Phase 2, machlekes. Phase 3, you cannot make it tonight. So machlekes is between Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Levi. And I would have reconciled the differences in language between Rav Dimi's quotation and Rav's quotation of this machlekes, because I'd rather line them up with each other and explain that they're actually saying the same thing, presenting the same achlekes, just using different words. Rather than the approach that the Gemara took before, the name of Rabbi Avo, that there is no machlekes between Rabbi Yechanan and Meshom and Levi. They are not disagreeing. Rather, who is the disagreement between? Between Rav Dimi's version of their discussion and Rav's version of their words, which is a little bit perplexing. That we have different quotations of the same person. Which one is the correct one, right? It's a little hard to understand how we ended up with different versions of the same person's opinion. Asks the Gemara, Mike Hamashmon, what was the point of Rav Papa pointing this out? At the end of the day, we had Rabbi Avoa told us that this is the our approach was the correct approach. Okay, Mashmon, the point of Rav Papa was to teach us that elsewhere, should we be faced with a similar dilemma, we have two ways to interpret something. It can either be interpreted as a machlekes amiroim, my opinion versus your opinion, our personal opinions being expressed, or we can interpret it differently, that the Amoraim themselves did not have a difference of opinion. Rather, it's a question of which quote, which version of their words is correct. If we're faced with a choice of either or, we adopt the first approach. Hakamashmon, he's trying to explain to us and teach us. The pligi tre Amoraim, atam adanav shayu. Pick this option. Prefer explaining and interpreting and presenting in a manner that the Amoraim are disagreeing with each other with respect to their personal opinions, but that's acceptable, that's legal, as opposed to saying that there are differing versions of somebody's words. V'lei pligi tre Amoraim, rather than have two Amoraim arguing aliba d'chad Amoraim regarding the words and opinion and position of one Amor. It's a little hard to understand how that ended up happening. So Rashi explains, you know, when you have differences of opinion throughout Shas, this touches on the core of the concept of machlekes in Torah. We have a machlekes. Which one's right, which one's wrong? It's only one, you know, correct approach. So what does Hashem have in mind? Right? So Rashi brings, that's the way Torah was given. For us to understand, based on our ability to understand and to analyze. And Hashem had all that in mind. He brings the Gemara in Erevin, Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. It's about 8-9 lines from the bottom. Beautiful Rashi. Right before the Mishnah. Ve'ikel Lememar, he says, Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. Both opinions are Hashem's words. The Zimnin Shayach Haitam, the Zimnin the Shayach Haitam. You know, every opinion is Torah, in Torah, is Torah. Well, sometimes the Pshat won't hold up in this case, so the Svara, the rationale, will be applied elsewhere. But the concept, in concept, it's still Emes, it's still Hashem's Torah. So Allah will pick one, you know, one Shita and go with it. Not to say that the other opinion, the opposing view, is wrong. In concept, it's still right. The svar is still correct. He had a right to hold that way, and it's part of Torah. Sha'atam is hapech lefishinu advaram b'shini mut. You know, depending on the variables, on the circumstance, that's what determines when to apply which svara. But the svara, the rationale, the concepts behind the discussions are still emes. They're eternal. They're godly. And it's fair to have a machlekes in Torah. It's not a matter of wrong or right. His opinion versus his opinion. And everything, there's room for everything in the Torah. But when it's a question of a factual disagreement, I maintain that Rabbi Yechanan said A, you maintain he said B, that's a little bit more tricky. So Rav Papa is telling us typically we try to avoid that. Except that in this case we know for a fact that that's the correct approach, because Rav Avoh himself tells us in the name of Rav Yechanan. So bottom line is, in the bottom half of the chart, we have Rav Papa's suggestion. He says, I would have gone differently. I would have said that The machlekes is between Rabbi Shimon and Levi and Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon says, well, the machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is all the way through. Stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon and Levi, stage 1, all agree it works. Stage 2, we have a machlekes. Stage 3, all agree it does not work. And Rav Papa says, I would have worked out the wording of Rav Dimi and Ravin to be consistent with this approach. But what should I do? It happens to be that Rav Avo has already quoted Rabbi Yechon himself otherwise, where according to that interpretation, there is no machlekes between himself and Rav Shimon Levi. Rather, the machlekes is between Rav Dimi and Ravin in terms of what Rav Yechon Shimon Levi said. And what did they say? So on the top half of the chart, you have that layout. You had Rav Dimi's approach, that stage 1 and stage 2 we have a machlekes. Stage 3 all agree you cannot have a tenai. And Rav's approach to the opinions of Rabbi Yechon Shimon Levi, which is at stage 1 all agree it works, whereas in stage 2 and stage 3 we have a machlekes. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Noisnin lebsulosh neimar sechodesh mitshatova habal. So we give the psula 12 months to prepare for marriage. Dresses and jewelry, etc. From what point? Mishatava habal. Once the husband, the chasen, puts her on notice, we give her 12 months to prepare. Lefarnes es atzma, to look after her needs, her wedding preparations. So that's the maximum time allowed, after which marriage is meant to kick in. Ukashem shenoisin leisha, just as we give this 12-month period for the isha, kach noisin leisha, likewise we give 12 months for the man, lefarnes es atzma, to prepare himself, put together the wedding, arrange for his living quarters. 12 months is only for Besula, who has to sort of start from scratch, but an Isha who was already previously married, she already has from the last marriage, and she doesn't need more than 30 days to prepare. Higia Azman Velinus, suppose the wedding date arrives and he refuses, he's procrastinating. At that point, he's obligated to look after her. Oichles Mishaloi, they can have his food. Oichles Betruma, if he's a kohen, they can have his truma. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Noisnin Lahakol Truma. You see, although she'll have his truma, but keep in mind, she can only eat it when she's tired. What about during those days of the month that she's tummy? Says Rabbi Tarfon, doesn't matter. You can give her everything truma, and the Gemara will go into the reasons for these shitas. Rabbi Kiba Omer, Mechtzu Chulin Mechtzu Truma, you have to be fair. Half truma, that's fine, but half chulin for the rest of the days of the month. Hayavam Eina Machal Betruma. Only a husband has the ability to feed his wife truma, but not a yavam, an isha who's awaiting yibam by her departed husband's brother. He cannot feed her truma until he actually marries her and does yibam. So even if she's waiting longest time for him, she cannot have his truma. Also, so shisha chadashim b'fnei habal. Suppose she was engaged 6 months with Reuven, and then he passed away. Vishisha chadashim b'fnei yavam. Next 6 months, she's waiting for the yavam to show his face. She cannot have his truma. Chaser yom echad b'fnei yavam. Even if she's already 353 days, a year minus a day, with Reuven, and then he passes away. So she was engaged to Reuven for almost a year, and he passed away. And the last day of the year, she's waiting for the yavam. That doesn't matter. Oy kulan b'fnei yavam. And certainly in a case where it was almost the entire year waiting for the yavam to come, chaser yom echad b'fnei habal, missing one day, meaning she was engaged for one day with Reuven, he passed away, and the rest of the year she's waiting for the yavam. Eino yichelas b'truma. She cannot partake in this truma. We're speaking that she's a daughter of a Yisrael, and he's a kohen. It doesn't matter. So although he's meant to feed her, but truma she cannot have. So now this Mishnah is telling us that in a conventional situation, Nisha is engaged, wedding date arrives, there's no marriage, he's obligated to look after her and can give her teruma. Zu Mishnah Rishayin. This reflects the opinion of the earlier edition of the Mishnayis. There were many additions to the Mishnayis. We have the final version. So the earlier opinions, the earlier Mishnah held that once it's Higia Zeman, wedding date arrives, she can have his truma. Bezin Shalachrei number, but the Bezin later on changed that shita. We're more concerned about mistakes, as the Gemara will explain. Therefore, Ein Ha'isha Echelas B'Truma, Ad She'Tekonas L'Chupa, an Isha can only partake in Truma when she actually experiences Chupa. Menon Emili, Mishnah gives us a 12-month preparation period. Where do we find that concept in the Torah? Amar Chizda L'Makro. So Eliezer was negotiating with Lavan, right, to take Rivka. Vayomer Achia V'Ima. Her brother Lavan and her mother responded to Eliezer, you know, give us a little more time with her before you take her. Teshev anara itano yomim ayaser. Let the nara stay with us some days or maybe 10 days. Now, my yomim, when they said yomim, what is that? Inu matrei, are we speaking about trei yomim, just 2 days? What kind of business people are these? That's how you negotiate? Mishtoi inish hachi? Is that how you speak? Amrulei trei yomim. First they ask him, leave her here for another 2 days. Amar hu loy. So obviously he refused it, right? The fact that they went from one option to the other sounds like it wasn't successful. Leave her for 2 days? No. So amar li asura yom. So if two is not accepted, they go to the next level of 10, of course. If he's not going to allow two, of course, why would he allow 10? This wouldn't be proper negotiating strategy, right? Elo mai yomim shana. So when they said teshev, hanara itona yomim, yomim means the full gamut of days, the full year. Tchsiv yomim tiye gulasa. We find the person sells a house in the city, he has up until a year to redeem it. So first they asked for a full year, and then they said, okay, a year is too much. Oh, sir, at least 10 months. So we see that it's reasonable to give her 12 months to prepare for marriage. Asks the Gemara, how do you know yomim means a year because of that pasuk? Maybe it means just a month. Like a month cycle of days. We find, this is by the Slav, Hashem said, I'm going to give you the Slav, the birds in the Midbar, to have until a month, Ad Chodesh Yomim, and it's going to be terrible, right? So we see that Yomim and Chodesh go together. So maybe they were asking for a month. Yomim means a month, not a year. Amri, the answer is, Don and Yomim Stam. We derive the meaning of the word yamim by the pasuk of Lavan, just yamim without any additional, add-on. Mi yamim stam, we learn it from the pasuk yamim tia gulasa, where there as well we find the word yamim without any add-ons. Ve'ein dun in yamim stam, as opposed to learning the translation of the word yamim, the unspecified yamim, mi yamim shenemer ben chodesh, from the pasuk of the Slav, where it says yamim, but it's together with chodesh, so it's a little bit of a different presentation. We prefer yamim to igulasai, which is actually a year, as the pasuk there says, it's a year. Amar Rabbi Zera, k'tana, we learned in the Braisa, k'tana, in terms of setting a wedding date for a k'tana, below bas mitzvah, bein hi, u bein aviyah, yichodin la'akev. She, as well as her father, have the ability to delay marriage, to delay it until she becomes an adult. We don't compel her to marry after 12 months. Asks the Gemara, Ishlema ihi, I understand why she, Matzi Makva, she can get in the way. Well, it's her life. Ella Avia, why does the father have to say? Ihi nichala, if she's happy, if she's okay with marriage, Avia, my nafka, let me know, what difference does it make to the father? Why should he have a say in the matter? Answer is, Savar, the father is going to say, Hashta la yada. Now she's young and immature. She doesn't know what's in store for her. So she'll go marry, and what's going to happen? It's going to fall apart. L'machar, mimrad of a nafka. Further down the line, she'll just rebel and leave her husband. Va'asiv enafka ilavoyah, she'll come back and present a burden to me, Rashi says. He says, next time I'm going to have to rebuy all the tachshitim, all the dowries. It's all about money. He says, look, I'm not going to get into this again. So, if he sees she's not ready, he can object until she becomes mature and ready. Amar Abba Barli, ein poiskin al ktano. We never discuss marriage for a ktana, la'asiyo kishi ktana, with the intent of marrying her off when she's still a ktana. And she says, it's not fair, it's toirach, it's not something she can handle. Aval poiskin ala ketana. We can discuss marriage regarding a ketana. La'asya kishah higdala, when the intent is to marry you off when she becomes an adult. That's okay. And Rashi points out that there's a Gemara in Kedushin. Rashi here is five lines from the top of the Gemara. Aval poiskin, says Rashi, v'davka b'lo Kedushin. Without making Kedushin, you can discuss, you can plan her life, but don't actually make Kedushin. Aval Kedushin b'katnus lo. Kedushin, when she's a ketana, is not acceptable ad she'tid, until she becomes an adult, v'teimer, and she'll declare, she'll make a mature decision, v'ployni ani roitza, I would like to marry this fellow. This is based on the Gemara in Kedushin of Mem Aleph. So whenever we speak about a ketana marrying, we speak about it tons of times, it's all theoretical. It's an academic discussion. Halacha l'maisa, Rashi brings a Gemara in Kedushin, we never actually even engage a ketana. So the Gemara here is speaking about discussion about future marriage. You can do that while she's still a ketana. Asks the Gemara Pshita, well, that's obvious, why wouldn't I do that? What's wrong with discussing her future plans? What can be the downside here? The answer is Mahu Datema, perhaps I would say Lechosh, there's a concern, Dilma Ma'ayla Pachta, maybe you're generating fear and anxiety into this person. Mahashta, from now on, you're planning marriage for this little kid, she's going to be gripped by intolerable and overwhelming anxiety and apprehension. V'chalshan, she'll suddenly fall ill and weaken. Rashi says she won't be able to get married when she grows up. Kamashman, the chiddush is, we're not concerned, you can discuss, you can plan, as long as it's not a serious, practically implemented, plan. Amar Rav Huna. Here comes a chiddush. The Gemara speaks about, the Mishnah spoke about, giving her 12 months to prepare for marriage, right? But Bagro Yemechot, says Rav Huna chiddush, once she turns a begeris, that's 12 and a half, even one day into the Bagro stage of Niskatcha, she gets engaged, Noisnla Shloish Yom Kalmana. We give her just 30 days, like an amana, boom, marriage. Why? Rav Huna is assuming that once she becomes an adult, she's already preparing, this is what she has in mind. She anticipated marriage for a while already, and she has it all prepared. So once she's younger in age, we have to give her enough time to prepare, but once she turns an adult, she's a begeris, chances are it's all ready to go. Meisvei, here comes Akash and Rav Huna. Bagra, once the isha becomes a begeris, harihi ketvua, it's as though the husband put her on notice. Right? So typically we say that the 12 months is only from the day of tevia, once the chassan informed her that, he's ready for marriage. By a begeris, you don't need to actually inform her. Once she turns an adult, the assumption is marriage is on the horizon, and 12 months later, she should be ready. Why is this akasha on Rav Huna? My love, shall we not assume, presumably, ketvua de basula. Begeris is tantamount to tvua, to having accepted, been put on notice, been informed that marriage is, on the agenda. Like a basula, a 12-month period until marriage. Loi, ketvua de almano. Perhaps it means she's like a tvua of an almano, meaning it's only 30 days to go. And that's like Rav Huna. Toshmaya comes another kasha on Rav Huna. Rav Huna tells us again that a begeris only gets 30 days because we assume she's all prepared and ready to go. Says the Braisa, Toshma begeris sheshas shneimer sochadish. She's a begeris. After Kedushin, it's 12 months later. Rav Lezo Eimer, look, 12 months later, he has to feed her. Hoil v'chayiv bal b'mezaneseh, since the husband has to feed her, yofer. Likewise, he can interfere with her vows. It's a package deal. What are the Braisa telling us? A begeris needs to wait 12 months. Not like Rav Huna, who says, once she's a begeris, it's a 30-day event. Answer is, Ema will revise the brice. Whether it's a begeris who's awaiting marriage, in that case perhaps it's only a 30-day wait. Vishesh, in next case, is Vishesh Shah Sashneim Asar Chodesh. If she's less than a begeris and she waited 12 months. So either or, typically it's 12 months. A begeris, maybe it's only 30 days, like Rav Huna. Either way, Rav Lezer Omer, Hoyel Obalo Chayiv Mezaneseh, since the husband is obligated to feed her, Yafer, he can annul her vows. So it's not a kasha on Rav Huna. Tashma, he comes one final kasha. Ha'amaris is a psula. He engaged a besula. Bein Shetova Habal, Vima Keves, whether we're speaking, the husband is proposing marriage, he put her on notice that he's ready for marriage, and she's uninterested. Ubein Shetova, he, or whether she's the one asking for marriage. Ubal ma'akev, the husband is taking his lovely time. Either way, noisnan lo shneimar sar chodesh mishas tviya. We give them a 12-month, you know, deadline from the moment that they put each other on notice. Ava lo mishas erison. It doesn't work from the point of engagement automatically. You need tviya. You need to be put on notice. The Raisa continues, Ubagra, hari hi ketvua. But once she turns up at Geras, it's assumed that marriage is on the horizon. The clock starts ticking right then. 12 months later, should be marriage. Ketan, how does this work out? Bagro yeimech. Let's say she was a begeris already. Vinis kacha, and then she got engaged. Noisnla, shneimos rechidish. The clock starts ticking. 12 months later is marriage. Even without actually, you know, explicitly putting her on notice. It's a presumption. Ula arisa shleshim yoim. Sometimes an arusa gets 30 days. We're going to see soon. Bottom line is, even a begeris needs 12 months. You don't say she's all prepared and ready to go. You give her a reasonable amount of time to prepare. And that's a tiyufta, the rafuna tiyufta. That's a kasha rafuna who told us otherwise. One more thing. What do the braisa mean? My vila arusa shleshim yoim. An arusa gets 30 days. What does that mean? I thought that bibisula gets 12 months. Amar papa, we have one exception. Hachik amar. Begeris, she'avru aleh. Shneimas ha'chedesh be'bagrus. Oh, let's say she's already 12 months into bagrus. Bagrus is typically 12 and a half years old. She's already 13 and a half years old. This is not Rav Huna's case. Rav Huna was speaking even a one-day bagrus. Is already prepared. We're speaking she's already 12 months into the stage of bagrus. Oh, now she's certainly prepared. Vinis kasha, now she gets engaged. We cut the waiting period. Noisin lo shloishim em kamana, we give her merely 30 days. And then into marriage. So bottom line is, how much preparation time do we give Isha? A besula is 12 months, and there's a remez from the pasuk of Rivka, Teishev, Anari, Tanu, Yomim. Yomim is 12 months. 12 months from when? From the Yom HaTzviya, once she's put on notice. Almana gets 30 days from the Yom Tzviya. What about a Begeris? According to Rav Huna, a Begeris gets cut down to 30 days. But the halacha lamasa is not so. It's 12 months from kiddushin, right? You don't need a tviya by the begeris. 12 months from kiddushin. Whereas if it's already 12 months into bagrus and now she gets engaged, we cut it down to merely 30 days. Higiyas man v'leinisu. So once the wedding date arrives and he is not stepping forward, he has to feed her. Amar ulo, dvar teira. You're meant to know that mina teira arusa bas yisrael echelas betrum. If it's arusa, is a bas yisrael, she can have his truma from the moment she gets engaged. You know why? Shenemar v'koyin ki yitne nefesh kinyan kaspim. The koyin acquires possessions like an eved, who is mekadesh an isha. Same thing. He can feed them truma. Vaynami kinyan kaspim. An isha who's engaged to him is kinyan kaspim. She's his possession. So then why matam amru eilo yecheles? Why then don't we allow her to have his truma until the relationship, you know, develops further, until the wedding date arrives, etc.? Why not? What's wrong? We have two possible concerns. Number one, shema yimzugula kais beveisavia. Perhaps she'll be served a glass of wine, of truma, while she's still back home. She can drink it, but she's going to be a nice sister, and she's going to share it with her siblings, with Tashka. She'll feed her brother and sister, and they're Yisrael. To avoid that, we don't give her truma at home. If that's the concern, then what difference does it make if the wedding date arrives? The same concern is applicable. The wedding date arrives and there's no marriage. Nami, there as well. You shouldn't be feeding her truma. She might share it with her family. Answer, Hasam. Once the wedding date arrives and he's obligated to feed her, oh, now he's going to take her out. He's going to designate duchta, a place, miyachad he designates for her where he feeds her. He doesn't want her to feed her, share his mezainus with her siblings. So once she's separated from them, during mealtime, there's no concern of sharing. Elamiyata. So if there's a concern about sharing food, what about lakit kayin? Li Yisrael. Yisrael, farmer, has a lakit. Kayin, a kayin who's a seasonal worker gathering his crops. So this guest, this worker, loy lechel betruma, he shouldn't be having truma in the Yisrael's home, because he might share it with him. Dilma osu l'meichel, but he might come share it with him, and the Yisrael might share the Kayin's food. Why is there no concern? Answer, look, they're feeding him, the farmer, the employer is actually feeding, looking after his worker. They're going to have his food? Of course not. It's a one-way provision. There's no concern of the worker feeding the master. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Barav Yehuda, Omar, he explained Mishum Simpa. Although Menatoya and Arusa can have Truma, but until marriage, we don't allow Truma because of Simpa. Simpa literally means something which breaks up, which cancels the relationship. Here it means he might discover a blemish, a mum, something that he's unhappy with this Isha, some physical blemish, and he might cancel the entire relation, entire Kedushin, in which case the Truma that she ate until now was Aser. Yachi, if that's the concern, then Nichnas al Chuppa. Even if she's already experiencing Chuppa v'lenivala, but they didn't get close enough, there was no Be'ila, no physical interaction, Nami, there as well. The concern should apply there as well. So why does the Mishnah say, well, even according to the most stringent version, the Mishnah Achroina, Mishnah Rishenia said, Higi Azman, right? There's enough to have Truma. But the Mishnah Achroina maintains Chuppa. Even with Chuppa, what have you gained? How are you going to circumvent this concern of a Simpain? Answer, Hasa Mivdak Badakla. Before he does chuppah, he's going to check her out. He has relatives to look after her, to see what she's all about. V'hadam ma'ayon, then he's going to go proceed and bring her into the chuppah. So once he gets to chuppah, you know that he's satisfied with her. Elami Atta says, Digmar, well, there's a concern about a mum, about blemish, about simpan. We have a problem. Eved koyin. So we have a master, a koyin, who purchased an eved. Shelokhem Yisrael, he purchased a slave from Yisrael. So up until now, the eved was not eating truma. Now that the kohen purchased him, kinyan kaspoy, he eats. Why? Loy lechel betruma. He should not eat truma. Mishum simpan, the new owner might discover something wrong with the eved and cancel the deal. Answer: simpan ba'avodim lechel. This concern does not apply to a slave. Why? Di davroy, an external wound. Kaka chazle, he sees it. Vidagavay, something hidden internal. What does he care? Lo malacha kabay. He needs him to do a good job. He's a worker. He doesn't care about something underneath. He doesn't care. Nimtza ganavaykov yustus. Oh, let's say he turns out to be a thief or a kidnapper. Higiyai. Well, everybody knows that an eved is a ganav, Rashi says, so it's yours. It's your luck. Mayika, so what's the concern? What can theoretically cancel the deal? This is the mezuin. Something unusual. He's known to be a armed robber. He's been condemned by the authorities to death. Perhaps they'll discover that and nullify the deal. Well, hanu, these situations, kol islu, they're known. They're publicly known situations, and the fact that he chose to purchase this eved indicates that he was not too particular about this condition. So there's no concern of simpon, you buy him, he's yours, you can feed him truma. It's only by the isha. Well, we have this concern. So again, Minat Torah and Arusa can have Truma. With the Rabbanu, we don't give Truma until either Higiyah Zman, wedding date arrives, or according to the Mishnah Achrayin, until the Chuppah. So why did the Mishnah Rishayna say until Higiyah Zman and not before? Two reasons we had. She might feed her siblings, or you might find something wrong with the Isha and nullify the deal. Asks the Gemara, any difference between the two approaches? Any halachic, you know, ramification? Michti, let's analyze this. Bein lamar or bein lamar, whether according to this opinion or the other, lo yachla, she does not have truma. Might be nay. What difference does it make if it's this reason or that? Any halachic ramification? Yes. Three. Ika benayu, difference would be like this. Ki bil. Let's say the husband accepts upon himself, I'm going to take her in, irrespective of whether I discover any blemishes. So the chashash simpon does not apply, but the other concern of sharing with her siblings would still apply. Or masar. Father handed over his daughter to the shliach of the Baal who came to pick her up. Siblings, they're no longer here to speak of, no concern there, but simpon is still a concern. Vehalach, or the father himself accompanied the shliach of the Baal en route to the husband's home. There are no siblings to speak of, no concern there, but simpon would still apply until Higiyah Zman. Okay, so what do we learn today? We spoke about the machlokes of whether or not you can make a tanai to deduct from the ksuba amount, when it applies, when it doesn't apply. We had the Rashi of Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim, to explain the rationale behind every machlokes and shas. By the way, there's a beautiful ritva in Maseches Erevin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis that elaborates on this concept of how we understand, how we explain machlokes, the disputes in shas. Beautiful machlokes, beautiful ritva. Place to look it up. So that was one discussion. Then we had the Mishnah. We give the man and the woman a reasonable amount of time to prepare for the wedding. Typically it's 12 months. Almana gets 30 days. What about Truma? To an Eishes Kohen. So Menat Torah, starting from engagement, Kinyan Kaspa, Midrabanan. We don't allow it. We're concerned about Simpoin, about feeding the siblings. So Mishnah Rishayna says until the actual wedding date, no Truma, according to Mishnah Achroina, only starting from Chuppah onward. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.